morning and then cut it out.
Cool.
All right, everybody. I'm so pumped because we have this amazing person, RJ. RJ, the man here. And he is on here because I was just so inspired by his story. And I actually met him through the Nomad Summit in 2019. And I think it was in Thailand. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go. But regardless, so I made an awesome connection. So welcome to the podcast, RJ.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Yay. Yeah, this is exciting.
Isn't it always? Now, how many podcasts have you been on now? A few?
I think this might be my fourth or fifth. I'm not quite sure.
Wow, so you're going to become a pro. You're just going to spit it out with me.
Yeah, they're fun.
They are fun. It's just you're literally being asked to be on someone's podcast and then just like have a conversation, right?
Right. It's not like you're on TV and there's a camera facing you and it's just staring in your eyes. But
yeah. So like for all the audience knows, we could be sitting in our PJs, you know, and having like, I don't know, cereal leftovers on our face and no one would know.
Exactly.
So anyways, I have you on, RJ, because I, like I said, I was very inspired by your story, but then also too, just the importance of having persistence actions or persistence in entrepreneurship. And as you know, my podcast is a lot about being inspired by people's stories and a lot of personal development and really what it takes to be a true, true entrepreneur. So why don't you share with us your little bit of a short journey of how you got into cracking the code on Merch Amazon. And then also for those that don't even know what Merch Amazon is, just do a quick recap would be awesome.
Yeah, sure. So Merch by Amazon is a print-on-demand service. It's not a brand new model. It's been around for a long time through various websites like Teespring or Redbubble or Printful. But Amazon decided to do their own style and put that on the Amazon platform around 3 years ago. And it started as a place where app developers can sell merchandise for their apps. And then it quickly spread to the general public. And so it's a fairly new program and they're still trying to figure things out. And it's definitely changed as more merchers have come in. It used to be kind of Wild West, but they've formulated it down to a system. So what print on demand is basically if you're scrolling through Amazon and you find a cool t-shirt that you like, you click on that t-shirt and Amazon will print it for you and they'll ship it to you and they'll charge you and do the customer service for you as well. And for the people that are on the business side, all they have to do is upload the artwork and change the descriptions, the price, choose the products, and they don't touch anything else. At the end of the month, they just get a check and they see what sold, what size, and the colors and what design it was. So basically, it's just collecting the royalties off of your artwork. And once it's on Amazon and sells once, it's going to be on there forever. So it's a lot better than the traditional model where you have to basically buy 500 blank t-shirts, buy all the inks, and then the giant, you know, press and everything. And yeah, this is just way easier.
Right. Yeah, what an easy way, especially for someone that has no idea how to really start up something. Now, how did you even get into Merch Amazon? What was that process like?
So I was in my corporate office and I was really hating my life and
been there.
You know, everyone else, they just kind of they say like, hey, what else is out there? The grass is probably greener because like I don't like where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I did the exact same thing as many probably of your listeners have done before. You YouTube or Google how to make money online. And so after like all these searches, I found digital nomads. And I was like, oh, digital nomads, what's that? And it's like people that travel and they're location independent, they're entrepreneurs or they work remotely. And they're not really tied to any specific location. And some of them are making pretty good money. And I said, you know, that seems really cool. I've been stuck in an office and I want to get out there. I know I'm an outdoor cat. So let me try that. So I did more research, went through all the forums and just kind of soaked up all that knowledge. And somehow I think I applied for merch by Amazon, but I didn't realize it until 6 months later. So between then, basically I went to Thailand to the Nomad Summit and soaked up more stuff over there and tried to figure out my way through this digital nomad lifestyle. And I wasn't really making any money for around 6 months, just kind of still figuring and working it all out until I got an email. I said, "Hey, you've been accepted to merch by Amazon." And I said, "What's that?" Did some more Googling and YouTubing. I was like, "Oh, okay, this is a actually pretty decent way to make money." And it seemed like too good to be true. So I was actually doing a Shopify course in affiliate marketing and trying like all these different things previously. But this one just kind of clicked with me. I said, "Yeah, I think this is worth putting my time into it." Mm-hmm. And so I spent around 30 to 40 hours just kind of researching, tweaking, and refining the process. And basically, I always looked at merch by Amazon as a big business. Like that's the way you have to look at it. A lot of people are like, "Oh, I'm just going to figure out Photoshop on my own. I'm going to figure out Illustrator. I'm going to draw, and then I'm going to figure out the keywords and then do all the research and do basically everything." But I looked at the model and I said, "No, I need to make sure that I have a big team starting out, because when I'm going to, you know, have a whole bunch of designs up, it's going to be physically impossible for me to draw out each individual design for every single day, because sometimes you have to upload like 40, 50, 100 shirts in one day, and it's not possible to do that on your own." Mm-hmm. So the way Merch by Amazon works is there's tiers. It's on a tier system. It's kind of like eBay, if anyone's been in that. So you start at tier 10, which means you can upload 10 designs at one time. Two designs at one time, but 10 designs live total. They limit your uploads per day, and they limit how much you could have live at one time. And so basically I wanted to get to the highest tier possible as fast as I could. And I did everything I could in those first 10 designs, just like did text designs, did graphics, did a whole bunch of stuff. And I like promoted it on my Facebook. I said like, "Hey friends, I'm starting a new venture. It's a new side hustle. Can you please like buy this t-shirt so I can get bumped up to the next level?" And if you go through my Facebook, I've got so many posts of just like really nice designs and no one's buying them. And it wasn't until the third day of merch when I got my first sale. And that's when I was like, "Whoa, this is real," because that design was a text design. And I didn't promote that on Facebook.
Really? So it was straight up from Amazon.
Yeah, straight organic. And I was just like, "What? Someone bought that and I made $1? Like, that was crazy."
Do you remember the text? Do you remember what it said?
Let me see if I can pull it up.
I think it's so funny how people in this world purchase like a $20 t-shirt that says "Call me maybe" or something, you know? It's so simple, but yet people are willing to lay down the money for it.
I know. So like if you just go through the mall, basically t-shirts are like $35, $40 sometimes, and
yeah,
it's crazy. The markup on apparel is so high.
And people will buy it. Like people will purchase it. And especially too around holidays or birthdays. I just feel like, you know, you'll get t-shirts that say just ridiculous things. I mean, they're funny though. They're funny.
Yeah. All right. So this, I found it. It's "I love Jesus" in big text, but I drink a little in little text. and I sold it for $13.07, and so I made like $1 on that. But that was the first one, and I was just like melting in my chair. I was like, "Oh, that's money!"
Oh my gosh! Wait, so did you create that own? Like, did you make up that phrase, or like were you like, "Oh, this is a really interesting idea," or like how did you come up with that?
Okay, so this is one of the big secrets. You basically have to take what's popular on other sites and then you alter it in some way. So there's there's always an improvement on artwork. And if you can see like, I can totally make this in a different style, or I can make this text bigger, or like I can change something about it. And like, I think that's a better design, then you go for it. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did. I was like basically trying to find what's popular on the internet, and then mm-hmm. made stuff around that. You'll see designs like everywhere, like bumper stickers on cars, advertisements sometimes. Go through them all, look at those t-shirts, and you'll be inspired by something. There's millions and millions of different ideas you can have.
Right. So you're basically just following what's already been working. So you're not really reinventing the wheel per se, more or less.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Now, so you were doing this for a little bit, and then like, were you doing this while you were working your 9-to-5, or what was that like?
No. So when I was in my corporate job, I was an insurance broker. I basically set a deadline.
Oh, smart.
Yeah.
You know, you talking about that with having a deadline, do you think that's really important for entrepreneurs to have? Because I think and you can, you know, have your opinion on this too, but I think what I realize with friends that I have that, you know, want to be entrepreneurs is that they say they're going to do something, but then it's like a year later, they're in the same place, you know, like they don't have that deadline.
Yeah. So it's a mental thing. I think you follow it's Pareto's, right? Mm-hmm. If you limit the time span of things, you'll get things done a lot faster. Mm-hmm. And I applied this to different parts of my business. So for getting and making that jump out of the airplane and trying to open up some entrepreneurial parachute, I set that deadline and I put all my priorities in place and made sure I had a long runway. And I prepared as hard as I could and really believed that there's no going back. And so when I set that deadline, I set it to some event. So it was the Nomad Summit in Chiang Mai. And that was like, this is it. Like, this is where I'm jumping. And so it was just like trying to build up to that deadline and still work was kind of like the balance of things. And then you quit your job as part of the timeline, and then the start date was like the Nomad Summit or like going to Bangkok. And so that really helped me a lot. I don't know if it will work for everybody, but because everyone's scenario is different. Like if you're in debt and you have like a lot of responsibilities to take care of, like it's going to be a lot harder. I was just in the right time. Like there's never a right time, but I was just in a pretty good spot. And I moved home and stayed with my parents and mm-hmm. just basically like bootstrapped at home first. So you have to like really, really prepare yourself to go all in and have all of your cash go towards the business or like something that will make you money. Mm-hmm. And another deadline is set. So I really love fishing. Like I could fish every single day.
You're a fisher? No, but you're from Texas, man. They don't fish there, do they?
Yeah, I'm like, we fish all the time.
Really?
What are you talking about? Yeah. Japan, Texas, and California is a big one. Mexico is a pretty big place, but yeah, those are like the fishing capitals.
Is that why you were in Mexico? Because you wanted to go fishing? Or?
No. So I've actually wanted to go fishing in Mexico for a long time, but it's in this like hard to reach place, but they have some of the biggest fish over there.
Okay.
But anyway, my friend invited me to a fishing trip, and this was during my merch grind time. And I told myself, if I don't reach my tier goal, then I'm not going on this fishing trip. Like if I don't make this amount of sales, then I'm not going on it. I had like 2 weeks to prepare for it. And so I was like, this is what I want. And like, I really need to dedicate myself to this. And I didn't go to any movies. I didn't, you know, play any video games. I was just like work. And I actually didn't make that goal that I set. So I didn't go on the fishing trip. And so like my friend was super disappointed. He's like, dude, you should have just told me. I would have bought like all of them so you can go. And I was like, no, like it's gotta be like, this is what I set my mind to, and like, I want it to be organic. I can't cheat my way to get those sales. So yeah, like that's what it takes. Like, you gotta be super disciplined and really, really want it. And side note, like, to get to that point, you kind of have to see what's against you and then use that as fuel. Sometimes you can use that as like, preparing yourself. What do you say? Not really fake, but, like, if you can put some kind of pressure against you that you're making yourself, like the fishing trip, like, let's say if I don't make $1,000 or whatever this month, then I'm not gonna eat out next month or something like that. Like, give yourself a bet or something, something that you can lose. That way it's like, I really want this, so I got to work towards it.
Right.
So put a carrot in front of you.
So that fishing trip. So when you weren't able to go to that fishing trip, what did you change or what did you do after that? Did you work more or did you, I mean, I know there's a phase in the entrepreneurship realm where you do have to sacrifice a lot and you do have to put in the work, but then once you actually get that all settled in, you know, it's an easy flow. So for you, after that fishing trip didn't happen for you, how did you reassess where you were at?
Yeah, so I doubled down. Flashback to that Thailand trip. It was a good 6 months until I found merch. And those 6 months was no income, really. And it was a lot of struggle. And there was the fake pressure that I was putting on myself. Yeah. But there was also the outside pressure. So my family, they were just like, what's he doing? He's not working, you know?
RJ, coming out of your room yet?
Yeah, I know. So it's like, parents would always be telling me like, hey, like, get a job. Like, I tell them like, this is what I'm working on now. And it always changed because like some business models just didn't click with me. And then I like try to keep them like as happy as possible, but it's hard if you're not making any money and like you're not seeing any results. So I had that pressure for like a good 6-7 months of just like, hey, you know, my friend has a job opportunity. Maybe you should apply and blah, blah, blah. I said, no, like my dream is to be a digital nomad. So I'm try to make it work. And it was just every single day, like over and over again. And so just consistently, like I was just so under pressure to succeed. Mm-hmm. And of course you don't want to let your parents down, and your parents are only doing this because they love you and they don't want to see you fail or like be hurt by some kind of business failure. Cause there's so many different ventures you could do and lose a ton of money. And they know like what kind of struggle it is. So they're just trying to make sure you're secure. And after like all that time they spent, you know, raising you to go to school, go to college, job, and then all of a sudden you're like, nope, bye.
Yeah.
it hurts them. So, I mean, it's a trade-off. But you just got to believe in yourself. And so I had a lot of pressure on me, and a lot of my friends, they're just like, I was also kind of shy to tell them what I'm doing because I wasn't coming out. And when I would just be like trying to work, and like I literally would bring my laptop and try to upload t-shirts while everyone's like watching movies together and stuff. And I'd be, yeah, I want to hang out with you guys, but I really got to do this. Like I was literally uploading. Yeah. Like I was in it because I was tired of like all of this. Like it hurt, you know, when you're at the bottom, it's like, I know I can get it. I'm like almost there. And with merch, I was just like, I see it because I made that dollar, you know, that $1 from the Jesus t-shirt. And yeah, I was just like, this is possible because it's in 3 days you upload one shirt and you make that money and you're just like, okay, let's just scale that up, right? And so since day one I always believed in this process, especially after trying all different things.
What, okay, so You know, it's a lonely road or journey when you're pursuing this, and that is commitment, man. When you're sitting with everybody watching a movie and you're uploading t-shirts, I'm just trying to envision what that actually looks like, you know, multitasking. That's hilarious. That's awesome. So how did you find your community, or like how did you keep going, especially with, you know, family maybe not being supportive or believing what you're doing, your friends are kind of in a different route. Like, what did you do to find a space for you to be like, okay, I'm with like-minded people?
Yeah, so you really have to change your mindset. If you're not surrounded by people that are like-minded, then you have to find them. And once you see someone that's actually doing it, then you can be like, oh, they're not doing anything special. Like, I can do that too. It's kind of like if you aspire to be an NBA player, you go to one of the NBA players' training camps or something, and then you learn from them. You're like, oh, they've been through all of that hardship. So like, you realize like, ah, oh, if I just follow them, or if I just do something like them, then I could do it too. And it's really just like putting in the effort. So for me, it was going to that conference, like looking at the digital nomads online. It was one thing, but actually seeing somebody living and traveling and going around the world, that's crazy. And so when I met, you know, hundreds of them in Thailand, I was just like, I want to be here. Like, I'm going to be here one day. Mm-hmm. And that's what I had in the back of my mind. Like, people are already doing it. It's possible. Forget everyone else here. Like, Dallas is slow right now. Like, I got to be in Thailand and catch up to everybody, because that's where the future is at. And so that was part of the fuel to my fire.
Mm-hmm. That I want to agree with you with the fact that, like, I think that's where our future is going to with the world, and like the possibilities that we have on the internet. And on top of that, the global market. I mean, to think that it just blows my mind nowadays that we have been in that corporate realm, but now we're in that generation, especially as millennials, where it's like, no, there's something greater. There's something that there's so much more possibility because you have access to the international market or global market, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Because like, if you're just in one city, you're only stuck with everything that's going on in that city. If you're in the digital space, or like if you're in Thailand, you're going to find out what's the newest trend around the world. Yep. Because all these travelers go there, and people that work online, they know what's happening in this country, that country, and people are hopping from country to country every month and finding out what's new over there. And then they bring it back and share it with everyone else. You can't find that anywhere else in the world. And yeah. So, I found merch by Amazon early just because I was in the digital nomad space. And so people in Dallas have no idea what merch is. People don't know where their Amazon products come from. So yeah, we're in a totally different area. So it's kind of amazing where we're at right now.
Yep, exactly. And I think a lot of times too, people are just a little bit scared to jump into that unknown, because it's a totally different mindset and kind of work, really, because you're doing the work essentially. But doesn't mean that you're doing it long term. But yeah, I think that people are a little bit scared to take that leap. So props to you, RJ. I'm giving you a round of applause. Well done. Well done.
Thanks.
That's awesome. Okay, let's talk a little bit more of the fun side of things. So
sure.
You got your merch side up, you figured all that back end, and now you've actually, you know, succeeded what you wanted to accomplish. So what countries have you been to? And what's your next venture?
Yeah, so I'll walk through kind of that timeline again. After Thailand, went back home. And then when I got to merch, I was grinding on it. And I made $50 that first month, still in Texas. I made $350 the second month, still in Texas. And then I made $7,000 the third month. And then I was like, okay, I can retire. So I went to Canada to visit my girlfriend at the time. And I didn't work on merch. I said, you know, $7,000 a month, that's crazy. Like, I don't need to work on this anymore. I can go passive with this. Mm-hmm. So I actually haven't touched merch seriously since then. So I only worked on it for like 2-3 months or something.
Oh, seriously?
Like,
oh Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been passive ever since. It hasn't been 7K every month, but it's paid for my flights and my fund money.
Yeah.
And as long as it does that, then it's like, okay, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And are so you, when, I, yeah, go
you,
ahead.
I was going to ask you, are you using some of that money to do your outsourcing? Because obviously you said you're doing it more of the passive work. So, you know, for example, your graphic designers, the uploaders. Yeah. Like that?
That's a good question. Okay, so I've hired a handful of different parts to replace me for the business.
Okay.
Graphic designers was the first step. I'm really scared to hire a uploader because one, Amazon will track the IP. Two, they can see like all the sales and my bank account information. Mm-hmm. And three, I just don't trust the same amount of quality that I can put in. Because I know like what keywords I like and I know it's not going to get copyright strikes or trademark strikes or anything. Mm-hmm. But I have had an uploader before and I've had different outsourced, like a researcher and all these things. So it like since right now it's just working on its own. I have designers and they're working on other projects for me right now, but, yeah, I've just got my core certs on Amazon that I've been just kind of churning at it ever since.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Back to Canada. So that was primarily what I was doing for a solid handful of months, actually. It was like jumping back from Texas to Canada. I lived in Canada for like over 6 months or something like that.
Oh, wow.
This time last year, I was in Waterloo and it was snowing for like 30 days straight. And I've never seen that before. I was like, oh, what is this nomad life? But yeah, usually people go to somewhere warmer. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, it was still part of a good adventure.
Yeah.
Let's see. After that, I don't know the order. I've lost count, honestly.
Yeah, I was like, you've probably gone so many different places. It's hard to.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went around the States, visited all my friends and stuff. I've still got a handful of friends to see. Mm. Really need to go to Colorado and Miami.
You haven't gone there yet?
I have, but I've been telling my friends, like, oh, I'm going to visit, and I just haven't done it. So,
okay.
Yeah. Mexico, I've lived there for around 6 months, Cancun area and Mexico City, primarily Mexico City. Mm-hmm. Asia, done Thailand twice, Japan three times, Philippines handful of times, China, Kuala Lumpur for a little bit. I lived in Hawaii for a month. That was awesome. Yeah, I love that. And then coming up, I've got Spain. So I'm going to do Madrid, Barcelona, maybe Lisbon, and then hop over to Rome afterwards. And Ukraine and Medellin are also on the list sometime in the future.
So. Oh my goodness. Yes. I'll be in, like I told you, I'll be in Mexico. Oh yeah, Cancun and then Mexico City next month. But when are you going to be in Spain? Because I might be in there.
That's going to be May. Okay. Yeah. So maybe we'll cross paths.
Yes. And it's funny because before the podcast, I was asking you, I was like, do you even speak Spanish? And you're like, a little bit. You lived in Mexico for 6 months.
Yeah. I mean, my Spanish is all right. I can understand people when they speak slowly. Yeah. And I can, you know, order everything on the menu, ask for directions. Mm-hmm. But my conversational Spanish isn't as great.
Yeah.
I just understand more than I can talk.
So how do you, when you go and travel, especially when you have different languages or the language barrier, how do you get around or do you meet other expats while you're there? Or, I mean, do you ever get lonely? I guess, do you ever get lonely like going abroad all the time?
Yes. Okay. So that's the number one thing that nomads have a problem with. It's loneliness and also keeping relationships and Wi-Fi. Yeah. So the way I kind of combat that, there's a lot of burnout that can happen as a digital nomad. So I looked at that before and when I was on the forums, I was like, oh, I didn't realize that's a thing. So the way I approached it was, I'm going to go to a country and I'm going to go to the same city over and over again, establish community and make friends and, you know, really get to learn a city. And then I can go to another one. So I've only been to a handful of countries, but I've been multiple times. And so every time I go back, I'm like, oh, hey friends, I'm in town. And they're all like, oh, welcome back. And so you don't get that loneliness as much, mm-hmm. but there's a formula for this. So the first few days I would go to a hostel, mm-hmm. And then make a whole bunch of friends and go do the whole like play tourist with them. You know, go to all the locations. So you're not there by yourself, right?
Right.
And then after that, you go find an Airbnb by yourself so you can work, you know, with your Wi-Fi and stuff.
Right.
And then you go to meetup.com or couchsurfing events and just see what's happening in the area. And then go like go to some English speaking events or something. And there's usually people trying to practice their English and they're happy to take you around town too. So it's pretty easy to find friends. And it's so much easier if you're traveling alone because it's not as intimidating if you're like a group of three and trying to talk to another group, you know?
Right. Yeah. So, okay. I like that formula. That's clever. That's a good tip actually, the way that you've done it that way. Have you, usually when you go to places, do you connect with other nomads or attempt to, or get into groups?
Yeah. So, now, like I've got my Mexico City crew, like I've got my friends over there. So it's not as much of like going out and finding it. It's just kind of reconnecting with people. But if it's a new place, then yeah, I'll do the same thing again. Mm-hmm. And it's been kind of crazy because you, like the nomad circle is kind of small. Like you meet people that know your friends from other places just because they know other nomads. And so you've always got some kind of mutual friends somehow, which is really odd because it's like, you know, the world is huge.
Right. It's seriously a small world. Like isn't there a phrase that you know someone famous or you know someone within 3 degrees or something?
Yeah, something like that. So like there's always somebody that's connected to you somehow.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So let's wrap it up towards the end here. I got some questions about your traveling.
Sure.
This one, I wanted to do this one. What's the funniest or what are the funniest moments you had while traveling? If you can think of any. There has to be.
Never fun. It's all business. No, I've had a lot of good times. Let me think. Give me a second.
There's so many.
Oh, okay, here's one. So this was the Nomad Summit in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And was that was my first
year or your first one?
That was the second Nomad Summit I went to. It was okay. Last year, yeah. And so I meet these guys in Vegas, Gilbert and Vincent, and they're Asian. And I'm Asian too, by the way. I was just letting you know this is where
it is. Filipino, right?
Yeah, Filipino. Little disclaimer here. so this was the time when everyone's like still trying to figure out like friends and stuff, right? But we kind of cling together for a little bit. And we'd always go to this ramen place. Because it was like $4 for ramen in Vegas.
Wow.
And it was good portions too. And we were like, oh, like we could just eat here like every day. And so we did. We ate there every day. And like in the group chat, everyone would be like, okay, so where do you guys want to eat? And we'd just be like, yeah, ramen crew is going back to the same spot. And we'd bring like 30 people and like 40 people, 50 people each time. It was really fun. But then someone asked us another time and they said, okay, where are you eating? You're like, oh, our spot. He's like, oh, you guys are so cheap. And yeah, we are cheap, crazy cheap. And that was the same time when it was Crazy Rich Asians was coming out. And we're like, oh, we are the crazy cheap Asians. And so we were like, oh, it's such a good idea. We should put that on a t-shirt. And that was after I did a workshop for merch. And I was just like, that is a good idea. So we had this like mini business plan and like this big spark where it's like, let's make crazy cheap Asian t-shirts. And then we're going to make a music video. And then we're going to make it big. And then like do all this stuff for crazy cheap Asians as we were eating this cheap ramen. And we were just like coming up with different ideas of how we were cheap. So Gilbert had like a flip-flop that he wasn't throwing away because it was like broken but still usable. Oh, the thing was popping out of the hole like every 5 minutes. That's how cheap we were. So we just had all these different memes of just like how cheap we were. And yeah, like you don't really get that kind of experience in your cubicle, so
Yeah, no, definitely not. That's such a clever, that's such a good idea though. So did you make t-shirts out of that? Like that's so clever. I didn't even think
about that. Yeah, we did, but we didn't really commit as hard as we should have.
Right.
There is a music video floating around there somewhere on the internet. And we had like this pool party for the summit and we were filming and stuff, and it's a little embarrassing for me, but yeah, it was a good time.
It's good humor, good entertainment. If you're willing, I'd love to see it, maybe.
I'll look for it, yeah.
Get some good laughs. So I'm just imagining all of you in this like restaurant, and then he's like has his flip flop, you know, half broken, and you're like, oh, you know, the Crazy Rich Asians is coming out, and oh, what could we create? And it's like in those moments where like creativity can just like start to be, you know, created with all those like little things that happen.
Yeah, and you never know like who you're gonna meet or who's gonna be your next business partner. That same summit, I met CJ, who's also a mercher who lives in Dallas, and we're starting a new thing too that's gonna be a little more serious, but yeah, you never know who you meet along the road as a nomad that awesome. Could be your next partner.
Is CJ the one that's in the Facebook group?
Yeah, he's the one.
Okay,
so he was a speaker at the Nomad Summit, and then we spontaneously like ran a workshop together at the summit for his workshop, and then we did another one together in Thailand, and then so yeah, we just had good chemistry and things just kind of took off from there.
That's so cool. I was hiring a VA for my business because I just didn't want to do some of the back end work. And I was talking to her, and she has a business partner that she met like at some event or something like that. But she lives in Bulgaria, and then her business partner lives, I don't know, somewhere in Europe, and they're going to meet him in Rome. So that's like another bonus or a really cool pro thing that I feel like digital nomads can do. You can work with, you never know who you'll meet, and you just work with anybody, really.
Yeah, and you get that perspective of someone from a different country or like a different place.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Okay, so the second question is your favorite place you've gone to while traveling. I'm sure you've had many. Did you go to Boracay?
Yes, I have. I've been to Boracay before. Mm-hmm. But I just, like, I always thought I was beached out because I used to go to the Philippines, like, every 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. And we'd always go to the beach, of course, and it's just, like, the same thing over and over again. Mm. Of course, it's beautiful, but every time I go to the beach, it's just not as, like, exciting. Mm. Except when I went to Hawaii. I went in with that mindset of, like, you know, I'm kind of tired of the beach. But when I got there, I was like, oh, this place is magical.
Really? Where did you go in Hawaii? Because I was going to go there as well soon.
Yeah, so all the different islands apparently are different. I went to Kona, the big island.
Oh, yes, yeah. Okay. And what did you like about that place specifically?
It's kind of strange because there's a saying that the island is alive and it's an actual like spirit, and it'll either accept you or reject you. And I had no idea about this. I just had
something bad must have happened? No.
No, I mean, I just felt like a sense of completion of like, yeah, this feels like I'm in the right place, you know? Mm-hmm. And you could just kind of tell that things are going your way when like some random thing would happen, and like, that never happens before. And
yeah.
this is like my stroke of luck or whatever. And that just consistently kept happening. I kept getting like inspired by Hawaii. And yeah, it was just awesome.
That's so cool. I would love to. Actually, I wouldn't mind living there for some months or maybe a year. I mean,
yeah.
It looks so beautiful. And like just the vibe that I get.
Yeah. So I'm planning to buy property sometime in my life. It's relatively cheap. So
in Hawaii?
Yeah. So everyone's surprised by this. Like I'm surprised by it too. But my friend, she lives there and she was telling me about like the land over there. So the Big Island's only occupied by like 100,000 people. And when you think of that, it's like a city basically. Some cities are bigger than that. And there used to be this company that came in and they built all these plots and then they pulled out. So you can buy a plot of land for pretty cheap, sometimes around like $5,000. And if you live off grid, you don't have to pay for electricity or water or like
any
of those things. So I'm planning on buying a patch, like an acre, and making like a little tree house or like a hut or something. And then like bring your cooler, you know, bring a generator, and like you could stay there for a week or whatever. I'll just have like my little tree house out in Hawaii.
You could have like a little mini garden.
Yeah. I was saying like I would just fill it with succulents.
Yes. That's hilarious. I was talking to one of my friends and he's really into like organic food and organic like farming and stuff. And so I've been reading these books and just like being really more conscious of where our food comes from and what we eat, but then also to taking advantage of the land that we have now and being able to do that. But like the problem is when you're a digital nomad, it's hard to cultivate that space because you're always traveling.
Hmm. I mean, there are some cities that really cater towards that lifestyle. Thailand has a lot of organic, vegan, vegetarian, if you're into that, options. Mm-hmm. Bali as well. Big cities also help with that kind of stuff if you're looking into it.
Yeah, they are there if you look at it for sure. So this is a really random question. What's your favorite card game?
Munchkin. Have you ever played it?
No,
Munchkin.
What is that?
Okay, so it's kind of hard to describe, but there's 10 levels, so it's like a board of, you know, 1 to 10, and you're playing against your friends trying to get to space number 10. And you just draw these like most random cards to either like screw your friend over or help them out. And you kind of strategize with your friends of like, okay, I'm going to part with you, bro. And then like turn around and then stab in the back basically. And it's a lot of mess, but a lot of fun. Yeah, I definitely like Munchkin.
I've never heard of that. Where did you hear that? I've never heard of Munchkin.
So my sister introduced me to it. And it's actually like a pretty big community. They have, I think, around 20 expansion boxes now.
Wow.
It's just kind of like a fun party game that you'll stay up till 4 a.m. to try to win.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to play that game. I'm looking it up right now as you're talking. I was like, oh, okay. Interesting.
It's definitely something that keeps you entertained. For
I wish I had that creativity to make these card games. Like that,
I know, right?
Like imagine the person that's actually creating all that stuff. It's like all the different rules, how to win the game, things like that.
Yeah. Takes a special somebody.
Here's a question that I forgot to ask you, was how do you deal with the sleep, lack of sleep and change of sleep, all that stuff?
Yeah. Okay. So
you don't,
don't really. So I've been known like when I, especially if I'm in a relationship, like I've been known to not sleep a lot. Because you're trying to balance like, you know, a girlfriend and then a business and then family and friends and all of that. And you just don't have enough time. But if you're trying to build a business, you really have to think and you have to be like, I need to make sure that I can put in the work now so I can have that time later. Mm. Like, I put in the work for merch so that I can make it go passive and then I can do what I'm passionate about. Yeah. It's not find something that you're passionate about and make money out of it. Sure, that can work. But yeah, like, if you love cooking and you become a chef, you might hate cooking after, you know, week four because it's a lot of cooking.
Yeah.
But if you have something that's working for you in the background, then you can go and work on your own cooking skills at home and then impress people with like a super awesome dish. For me, it was just like, I have to work on this business no matter what it takes so I can enjoy the benefits later. And to balance that now, it's not easy. It's still a struggle. Sometimes I sleep like 2, 3, 4 hours a day. Like last night, I think I slept 2 hours, 3 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
But when you're passionate about that business and you're really like 100% into it, yeah, you don't stop thinking about this. And
right,
that's how you know what business is the right one for you. Because if you wake up and you're like, oh, I have this idea that I can implement, I should write this down. And then you write it down and you're like, oh, I can't wait to work on this when I get home. And then when you go to sleep, it's like, oh, I gotta like do one more project for this business. Like, should I sleep? And then all of a sudden you just pass out. That's how you know you're going the right direction.
Mm, that's a good one. That's a good nugget, like words of wisdom right there. Because I remember like going through all the ventures of network marketing and, you know, all that stuff and like finding the quickest way to make money, blah, blah, blah. But then realizing like, okay, like who am I as a person and what do I really enjoy? But then also be able to make, you know, high significant income while doing it. And I think so many times as entrepreneurs, we don't really think about, we don't think about like, oh, is this something that brings me joy? One of my mentors, she always says, what is the most joyous way that I could create money or something like that? And I think with part of entrepreneurship is you're also a creative person. Like, I think they come hand in hand. What would you say?
Yeah. I mean, some people are just like really creative and they can draw, you know, all this beautiful artwork. But I think what it boils down to is that you have to think differently or like systematically or some kind of different way than everyone else. And that's what creativity is. It's just like analyzing something. And you're like, yes, this is the right way I can twist it to make it better.
Yep.
That's the creativity that you need to succeed as an entrepreneur.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay. So we are winded down. I don't want to take up much of your time. Maybe you want to take a nap. I don't know.
Oh, I'm good. Yeah. Take as long as you need.
So we went through other questions. What are like the three things that you could provide wisdom to the audience or people that are aspiring entrepreneurs, or maybe they're entrepreneurs right now and they're just kind of getting a little rut? What are the three things that you could share with the world?
Sure. So first, kind of tying into what we talked about previously is the money. There are so many ways to make money online, and it's becoming even easier by the minute. But you have to think of, why am I wanting this? Why am I searching for this money? And really dive down deep and write it down and really analyze, like, do I need $100,000 a year? Or am I just trying to, you know, fulfill some kind of void in my life? I was like everyone else. It's like, oh, I'm going to make, you know, 6 figures a year and I'm going to really crush it. And then as I made 10K a month, I was just like, okay, I don't need this much. I am living the lifestyle I've wanted to live. And I realize I don't need to make 6 figures a year. Sure, it's awesome to have, but you have to know what you actually want besides money. Yes, you need money to survive. Yes, you need money to to pay for bills, to do the things that you love to do, to travel and all of that. So you don't need to reach, you know, 10K a month. It's, you can survive on less than that. Mm-hmm. Thailand is around like $800 a month cost of living. Ukraine's like 300. Wow. But like, you really have to analyze and say, okay, what do I want in my life? And why do I want this money? And then go out and apply that to your business. And try to reach that goal with the mindset of like, I want to pay off my debt. I want to retire my parents. I want to give something to somebody. And that's why I'm trying to make this money. I'm trying to travel. I'm trying to be a digital nomad, whatever it is. There's a book called Selling with a Noble Purpose. And that talks about why, kind of. There's a lot of little stories of like why people need money. And I recommend that book.
Okay.
The second one, let's see. I had it in my mind before I went on.
It happens.
Yeah. So a takeaway number two, this one. Okay. So you have to prioritize. You have to try everything. And you have to set your runway. So I talked about this earlier. It's like jumping out of an airplane and then making sure that the parachute opens up.
Yes, that would be ideal.
Well, there's no jumping back into the airplane after you jumped out. Like, some people do it and they fail. Like, I've met a lot of nomads that have tried and then they went back to corporate. And they just didn't believe in themselves long enough. And the way you can succeed is by trying everything. And so you have to set a runway for yourself. You have to take your money that you have in the bank. And you have to look at like, how far can I stretch this? So what can I cut out of my life in order to make this work? You got to bootstrap. Sure, if you have like 6 figures in the bank, if you have a lot of money, then you have a long runway. But if you don't have a lot of money, then you have to figure out how to make that work. Like I said, a lot of people move to Thailand because it's cheap, fast internet, and you learn a lot from other people there. So it's a good place to bootstrap. That's why Thailand's kind of the nomad capital. Mm-hmm. And you got to try everything. So on that runway, it's like, am I going to put all of my money into drop shipping and ads? What if that doesn't work? You know, you have to think about that. Mm-hmm. You have to try drop shipping first, like dabble your feet in. You have to try, you know, affiliate marketing. You have to try merch. You have to try every single thing possible. Mm-hmm. Until you find that thing that you just can't stop thinking about, like, yes, this is it. I could see myself doing this for, you know, a couple months or like a while. And I believe in this business model. Like, you could be inspired by this merch talk and then try merch and then you find out it's not for you. But at least you tried. And that's 100% different than people in a cube right now. So yeah, that's the second takeaway.
I like that. People in a cube. I feel like that should be like an acronym, like PIC, the PIC people. Instead of POC. People call that.
Yeah, those cute people. I don't know.
They're great people, though. Well, I mean, if you think about it, we need people in the cube too. I mean,
yeah. I mean, like, okay, so people are happy to be in their city and work and like go climb the corporate ladder and like, you know, they live their life and they're happy and you know, yeah. I support that. Yeah, and absolutely. This is just the life I wanted. So
exactly.
People are their own people.
Exactly.
Takeaway number three. Mm-hmm. So this one's a big one. You need to find a mentor.
Yes.
Don't try it on your own and like try to reinvent the wheel. Someone has done it before and like they can show you the way to do it. When I was in Chiang Mai, it was amazing. You can sit laptop to laptop with somebody and they'll share their entire business model and walk you through it. Some people will even take you through until you make your first sale.
Wow.
And for free. I've seen it.
That's awesome.
And I've done it before too. And like, I just got inspired by Thailand and like every country I've been to, I've tried to teach locals merch. And Yeah, so you got to find someone that's done it before and they're successful and someone that you aspire to be. Like I said, like if you want to be an NBA player, talk to an NBA player. Talk to somebody that's been in the shoes and the trenches and like have done it all and went through the struggle, because they know the shortcut so that you can catch up to them. Mm-hmm. So that's huge. Find a mentor. Find a lot of mentors. Build your Avenger team.
Oh, yeah. Avenger team. I love those Marvel movies. You're talking my lingo. Love it. Find your Avengers team. I'm going to write that down. Okay. Yeah. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing all your goodies and all your wisdom that you've, I don't know, created or have accumulated the past couple years. The last question I have for you, and this is more maybe like a interpersonal thought or a reflection, is what is 2019 meant? What is 2019 meant for you? Like, what is your theme, or do you have a theme?
Yeah. So 2019 is all for other people. Before then, it was all on my own. Like, I was really independent, and I was just grinding on my own and trying to make it work just for me. And I wanted to get to a point where I was happy with myself, because through all that struggle of trying to make this lifestyle work, I put a lot of pressure on myself, and I made sure that I was taken care of. And now that I'm in a position to take people and elevate them and put them in a better spot, it's all about other people for 2019. I've decided that I want to travel with other people. I used to just do solo travel. And like you said, like, loneliness is a pretty big thing. And like, I suffer from anxiety and depression. And so like, it's kind of a heavy toll when I'm like alone sometimes and just locked in my room in a different country where people don't speak a different language. And it can be hard. So in different phrases, like, 2019 is for other people. I want to travel with other people, make sure that I'm not alone. But also I want to help people get to my place right now. It's like, I went through a whole bunch of struggles, and I know there are a lot of people sitting through there in the same seat that I was, you know, 2 years ago before I started this. And so that's why I'm building my passion project right now, Corporate to Coconuts. It's a website. Yeah. So it's a website just showing people that this lifestyle is possible, because when I was searching through all this stuff, I was just like, I can't find anyone that I can really relate to. I tried to find a young male entrepreneur that was like making it, and I only found one.
Really?
Yeah. Like, and you see a lot of fluff on the internet these days where it's just like YouTube ads of people like, I just made $50,000 on drop shipping day three and blah, blah, blah. You can do it too. And then they put you through this funnel and it's so fake. And I want to have a website where it's just showing true stories of like real people that have made it. And, you know, the younger kids, that's why I started Digital Nomads for Millennials on Facebook. Just because I want to inspire that younger generation, because when I was, you know, 22 years old, trying to figure out this style, and I was only looking at people 30 and above, I was just like getting a little discouraged. So that's my next passion project.
I love it. It sounds very beautiful. And then are you also working on a course that will be a part of this passion project?
Yeah. So I've been kind of in the works of a course for over a year now, just dabbling, people asking me like, can you just put this in a course so I can listen to it over and over again? Like when I've been teaching people, I'm like,
yeah,
I should, I really should. And like when I was giving workshops to people, they're like, that's it? There's no sale at the end? And I'm like, no, like this is literally all the information I have. Like, please just go do it. And, so now it's just like, I need to make this course and I need to have it down on paper so I can like actually hand somebody something.
Yeah.
Don't have to repeat myself over and over again, but yeah.
There's I'm just going to share to the audience why I said that. It was because you were talking about how you wanted to create a course. And then I was kind of as someone that was going to, you know, push you into that direction and to continue to stay on task about it. And I think running a course, I mean, it's cool to know that you are, you know, willing to share your knowledge, and people do need this stuff because, like you said, it's such a struggle to in the beginning of starting something, and then you have no idea where to go or how to start or the mistakes that you've made. And the fact that you've accumulated all that and be able to put in the course is going to help so many people. And so I'm really looking forward to what you create. In addition to that, how can people like find you / are you open to mentorship at all, or are you putting that on hold, or what does that look like?
Yeah. I mean, like, people ask me all the time different questions. I've got different platforms that I'm on. So Instagram, I'm rj.mac, M-A-C. On Facebook, Merch by Amazon Lifestyle. The new one is going to be corporatetococonuts.com.
I love that.
And I've just created a brand new digital nomad millennials group on Facebook.
Oh, that's more I think I saw that. I think you added
I invited
me.
You, girl.
Yes. I'm going to hop on that. Let's go. Okay, cool. So I will put those in the show notes for sure. And what was I going to say? Oh, I don't know if you've heard of this before, but I was going to recommend to you the Expert Secrets. Have you heard of Russell Brunson? I've assumed you have. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So his books are really awesome too, especially if you're going to potentially sell your courses and use it as a webinar and all that jazz.
Awesome. Yeah. Always looking for new books.
Yes. Okay. Awesome. Okay. RJ, again, thanks so much for hopping on the podcast. I'm so glad and ecstatic that you were able to hop on and just share some really good stuff that you've learned along the way of your entrepreneurship journey. And I hope that we get to connect soon in the future and even meet face to face somewhere, maybe in Europe. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be awesome. Thank you so much for having me. This has been really great.
Awesome. And, oh, okay. All right, cool.